This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Back for Arfield, what a bullet! Scott Arfield, he's been threatening that recently, and all the Burnley players run to the Darwin end.
Burnley win the next ball. It's Rory now. He's on the outside, he's quickly finds Benson in space at the byline. Can Burnley get a goal here? Back for Brownell. Saved by the keeper. Yes! Burnley won it to the end. That is magnificent. They deserve that. Can he go on the outside? Comes inside. He's a shot. Oh, what a goal! Manuel Benson once more. That is top class. Burnley have done it. Fantastic. Clarence deserve the championship title. They've been the best side throughout the campaign. Burnley have won the second tier. What a fantastic achievement. The players have been magnificent.
Yes, hello everybody and welcome along to the latest episode of the Turfcast podcast full-time show with me, Joe Ribbon, after another dismal and damning and soul-destroying defeat. It's been desperate and we're all feeling a bit desperate now. And as it says in the title, the tide is turning on VK as Claret's uninspiring once again. And I do feel like that was yesterday. The tide, not fully turned, but it is starting. I mean, I have always like defended him and stuff, and recent weeks tried to fight a battle with the likes of Neil and other people on Twitter, but I just can't defend him anymore. Like, I'm not fully in the VK out camp, but I just can't defend him anymore. Like, we're getting worse. We're getting worse, and I just don't understand. Like, some stats from yesterday. Like, I normally have a running order. I've not bothered for a few weeks because of how shite we are and how much I can't be arsed. But I've got. What's going on?
Do we have a running order?
Believe in the Turfcast project.
I used to have a running order back in the day when I was all bright out of bushy tailed about. It's probably like the be all them lads are now, but 4 years of doing it and a season of shite. I don't do it anymore. But I've got some stats from yesterday. I will do the ad read in a minute because, you know, I'm contractually obliged to do it. And I will look into the comments as well soon and then we'll get into it. But just some stats from yesterday to show how shite we were. Another low XG. Obviously, XG is different on several different websites. This is why people don't like it. It's not definitive. But the ones I have saw are 0.05, 0.09 and 0.12 against a Crystal Palace team who hadn't kept a clean sheet since game week 11, and we had 0.05 on one website of how shite we were. As I've mentioned, Palace clean sheet. They haven't kept a clean sheet since game week 11. Who was that clean sheet against? Anybody know?
Us.
Us. Correct. Yes, it was us. No shots on target again, obviously. The last time we had a shot on target was 261 minutes of football ago against Liverpool in the first half. They had no Eze, they had no Elise, and they still battered us. I can't bring the attacking momentum up as a stat because it's a graph and I haven't put it in the show because I can't be arsed. But it showed that we offered nothing all game, even before the red card. If you want to see it, go to the Turfcast Twitter. It's on there. Manager was getting pelters from the away end yesterday. I feel like that's what I mean. That Dan, you were there. We'll get into that. Trafford and Amdune, what do they offer? That they make us worse.
Give us content.
And the Wharton red card should have been a red. That's not going to change the game. Because we were shite. And can I just say, I'm not arsed for any other fans being in this chat normally, unless they start giving shit. I have seen a Sheffield United fan in it, and it seems sound, so I'm fine with that. But any horse fiddlers pipe up, even if it's just hello, you're gone. I am not in the mood for you today. If I see someone say hello and their username is, I don't know, I shag horses 95, then you're gone. Because you're obviously a Blackburn fan. Lads, how are we doing? Sam, start with you. Good to see you. How are you doing, mate?
Not bad, mate. I'm all right.
How's the shoulder?
Just feeling better. Feeling better.
It's out the sling. First time we've seen it out the sling on the stream, isn't it?
Yeah, it can move. I mean, that one can go up there. That one could probably go to about there. But yeah, it can move. But Burnley somehow managed to make it worse.
Yeah. Dan, it's been a while since we've had you on a live. Good to see you, mate. How are you doing?
Rough 7-hour trek on a coach, absolute blag. I'll never step foot in South London again. It makes Nelson look like Dubai, honestly.
You know what? It's one of the only grounds of the Prem I've not been to yet is Palace. I wouldn't, mate.
Everything about it was diabolical, but other than that, I'm good. I'm good. I'm so glad that even the roughness is a better feeling than watching Burnley at the minute.
Yeah. Sam, you went out drinking last night as well, so I presume you can echo that, the fact that being rough is better than watching Burnley.
Oh, yeah, mate. I woke up this morning and I just thought, do you know what? I can't see. My mouth's dry. I feel gross, but I still don't have to watch them lot today.
We put more commitment in. And even if you can get your arm to there, Sam, it's still, if you tilt your head back, you can still get it.
Don't worry, he'll just use the other arm.
It's medicinal.
I'm doing it for him all season.
Neil, how are you, mate? Recently got a new job, so hopefully you're still feeling positive about life. A little girl as well. Everything's good in Neil's life, hopefully.
Yeah, just don't let football bother you. Like, what's the point in us getting upset when the players don't? Alan Pearce clearly isn't arsed. What's the point? What's the point of getting upset? No point. Just get on with it.
I'll be honest with you, mate. My weekend was completely ruined.
No point, mate.
Got home from work in a bad mood.
And do you think any of them have gone home and been miserable? They've gone home to their massive houses. Well, reasonable houses. Had a great night. Not really give two shits about it. Probably sorted out a game of pool at the training ground today or head tennis or whatever. They won't give a shit. There's no point letting it ruin your weekend, man. No point.
Yeah, difference is I'm a fan. I care. They obviously don't, as they've proven. But yeah, I just want to remind you all that the Turfcast Podcast full-time show is now officially sponsored by Wave Car Finance. Wave Car Finance are a local car finance company who specialise in getting you your dream car through their fantastic one-to-one personalised service. Their finance-first approach ensures that you secure the very best finance deal in a deal tailored to suit you, and they can even settle any existing finance agreement and swap your current car into a new one. And to celebrate this brilliant new partnership between Wave Car Finance and Turfcast, if you mention Turfcast Podcast to them, they will give you a voucher worth up to £200 to spend at the Burnley FC Club Shop on completion of your finance deal, if for whatever reason you want a Burnley shirt to commemorate this season. So why not pop down to their stunning new showroom in Worley, or give them a call, or even just send them an email or message them on social media to start your new car adventure today. And don't forget to mention Turfcast, because when you do, you basically get £200 worth of Burnley FC merchandise for free. Now, it's good to see the chat absolutely popping off. I counted the amount of comments we had before we even went live, and it was 15. And since we've gone live, excuse me, it's just going off and off and off. Ryan Collins is in the chat. Morning, Ryan. He says, sorry to say, but company out. Start to finish has been continuous failures. Stubbornness and poor man management has cost us all season. Developing players is playing them in the right games. Agree with that. Mike says, morning, Mike. Company, no excuses now. I'm shocked how stubborn and unwilling to change things he has been. Stubbornness, mind-boggling. If we see Trafford and I'm doing this start against Bournemouth, he has to go. I think the problem is with that, Mike, is we will see Trafford and and I'm doing this start against Bournemouth. But I agree with you. They shouldn't be in the team. Owen Ashworth says, company him, because if we sack him like we did to Dyche, then we would have a less chance of staying up. But we still are probably going down. We're definitely going down, Owen. That conversation isn't even entering my head. Mick says, not thinking too much of the reasons for keeping company at this moment in time. That's kind of what I said at the start of the show, isn't it? I'm in the indifferent camp now. I when we sacked Dyche and originally I was like, oh my God, I can't believe we've sacked him. Like, why have we done that? I wouldn't feel like that if we saw the corner flag tomorrow and he was announced gone. I'd just be like, meh.
Yeah, but again, that's again, though, isn't it, Joel? You go from 13 points in 13 games to what we've got now, 13 points in 20 odd. It's even worse.
Mm-hmm. What you've said there, mate, that's all I keep seeing is the people who are VKing can't tell me why they're VKing. Like, give me a list of strong football reasons other than because he's Vincent Kompany. Strong football reasons of what you've seen this season why he deserves to stay in his job. Because for me, what we've seen is that his level is Championship and above that, he's out of his depth. And if we ultimately, the aim of the club has got to be a Premier League club, he's not the man to do it. So, for me, the list of reasons for him to go is far outweighs the list of reasons to stay in. And just because he's Vincent Kompany is not a reason for me.
Yeah, I don't have anything. Again, that's what I mean. Like, normally I'd be like, well, no, because this, that and this. Like, I have nothing now. That's the point. I have no reason now. There isn't. No, Ryan's in the chat. Morning, Ryan. He says, Joe and Vizzy did their videos yesterday. They both had enough. Obviously, I know we are not spokespeople for the fans, but I think a lot of the fans are feeling like that. JB Sports says, VK out now. Andy Hayes says, I've been sitting on the fence about VK for a while. I want to give him a chance, but we appear to be getting worse. And that's the problem for me. We are getting worse. Sheffield United fan in the chat. Morning, mate. He says, all right, everyone. I'm new to this channel. I'm a Sheffield United fan. Morning. Hope you enjoy seeing another fan base as depressed as probably how you feel. JV Sports says, Brownhill is the worst captain Burnley's ever had. Should be stripped of it. Plays like he could not give a monkey's. I mean, he didn't really get a chance yesterday. It weren't his fault for the red. Trafford shite again. Ryan Merton says, we're all at a stage of just do anything. Change some players. Play 3-5-2, 4-3-2-1. Anything, just change anything. This is what I said on the full time. And I'll get into more comments later. I'll start getting the opinions of the boys now. But this is what I said on the fan reaction yesterday. Like, just do something different. Sam, I'll start with you because you've been waiting patiently. Just do something different. Like, it's the same thing, the same system, the same style of player, the same players every single week. And every single week, it's shite. Yes, we saw brief spells of improvement, which the results didn't match. But these spells of improvement were like a first half against Liverpool, a second half against Fulham. You know what I mean? And they've never played well for 90 minutes and then gone on and maybe Fulham, obviously, the last time we won. But it's just the same thing, the same team, the same style, the same everything. And as I said yesterday on Twitter, the definition of insanity is doing, and last week, the definition of his insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. He needs to make a ballsy decision now. He needs to make a ballsy decision and drop somebody, doesn't he?
For me, it's got to be Trafford, really. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, we've had this conversation all season and we've had, four or five games in the middle of the season where we decided, oh, we're going to leave him alone for a little bit because he's made a couple of saves.
Yeah.
Honestly, what on earth was that yesterday? We're in a game where we need to get points against a team that are looking, you know, down the table at themselves because they're not performing well. You know, we need everybody to do everything that they need to do in the game to get us 3 points because clearly it takes 1,001,000% effort for us to even get anything from a game because there was no chance we were getting anything from that game. This game had all of this written all over it. But that self-sabotage from Trafford with a ball like that has been a consistent part of his game all season. It doesn't matter whether or not he can make a couple of saves. I put the tweet out saying, get out of the club now. He's such a stressful goalkeeper and he gets so much unnecessary support from fans, letting them know, yeah, but he's done this and, you know, he's just a kid and all that. he is in the team every single week. So regardless of who's putting him in the team, you can still change your own performances. You'd stop doing the same stuff. Don't play the ball into midfield when you know a midfielder's got two attackers on your back. Why do you keep doing the same thing over and over again? Half of the goals we've conceded this season, all right, fair enough, yeah, he's made a couple of saves in big moments, in big games. So what? He's also the entire reason as to why the ball is in that position anyway, because his distribution's horrendous. It puts us under pressure. It puts himself under pressure. And then we just sit there and people just want to stick it out and say, oh, yeah, fair enough, mate. £19 million we've spent on him out of £110 million that we've spent in the entire season. £13 million we spent on Aaron Ramsey. He's now injured for the season and he played four games before that. So you're telling me that we've spent that amount of money on two players, one doesn't even play, and the other one self-sabotages us in games and we really, really need points. What I would change is I would change the players that aren't doing what they're supposed to do and haven't been all season and finally make that decision to drop them. I agree with you, Joe, as well. Even though that red card's not Brownell's fault, and I'm still a huge believer that Brownell should be at this club and should play that 10 role. Because
yeah, exactly. He's playing out of position, to be fair to him.
Exactly. But he needs to be dropped now. And now it's a good opportunity to turn around and say Cullen and Burge together, or push Burge forward and get Cullen and Cork in. He put Cork on yesterday, so he's clearly in some kind of plan. Put him in the team. I'd rather see it now. I'd rather just see you change a lot of things, because we're not staying in the Premier League. It's not happening. I said it yesterday. That game for me was the game where we stay up or we don't. I don't care if we've got 12 games left. That's too tall of an order. We've got 13 points after however many games. We've been on 13 points for about 10 games. We're rubbish. We've got no pattern of play. We can't play to anybody's strengths. We're a bunch of individuals on a pitch because it's been thrown together by an owner and a manager who don't really know the best 11. We can't get anything going, any momentum, because every single team in this league can beat us. The project hasn't worked. So we just need to go back into the Championship, rebuild, get rid of the deadwood players like Amdouni and players that don't really care about the club at all whatsoever. Ship them off, send them to wherever they need to go, start from scratch and work towards not having a project, but actually next time we manage to get into this league, try and actually put some effort into it. Don't bring fans along for a ride from this fantastic Championship season. Get to the Premier League and then just go down with a whimper like you don't really care. Because to us as fans, that's what it looks like. Like, you don't even care that we've managed to get here. And you just letting this season flitter away, and we're all just there just to watch us, like, just discombobulate around us. It's boring now, isn't it? Like, we talk about the same things over and over again. It's the same players and it's the same issues. I'm so bored of it now.
I'm saying, like, it is boring. Like, it's genuinely boring. Like, I don't know what more to do with the podcast. Like, that's another side of it. Like, we're saying the same things the same week, every single week, the same players, the same mistakes, the same style, the same players fucking starting when they shouldn't be. You mentioned Trafford and Amdouni there, and I don't understand why these players are playing every single week, other than the fact that they were two of our biggest outlays in the summer. So they're constantly trying to just, prove to us that it could have worked and just be stubborn. I think the overriding feeling from fans is Kumpany is being stubborn. And that's the vibe I get. I said it a lot on the the fan reaction yesterday. And that's what all the comments are saying in there as well. He's just being stubborn. He's been stubborn with Trafford. He's been stubborn with Amdouni. And he needs to make a big decision now. And I've said, again, at the risk of repeating myself from every single podcast and every single fan reaction, like, he needs to drop him and he needs to make a big decision and he needs to show his worth as a manager. Just needs to drop him and make a big decision. And he's not doing. Dan, I'll come to you. Obviously, you were there yesterday, so give us the vibe of what it were like and the away and yesterday, especially at full time.
They were a shambles, to be honest. Our coach driver didn't get us there till 10 minutes into the game, which were probably the best 10-minute spell of football we've probably had, because I didn't see it. And then it just... 1 minute, Trafford's making a save. Fans going, super James Trafford in goal. Bullshit. Even I was sniggering at that point.
I think.
And then 2 minutes later, 2 minutes later, bang, get out the club. You're awful. I was just like, whoa, this is funny. The thing is, I actually felt like I understood Brownhill's smile on that picture, because I was almost like, yeah, I feel a bit like that as a fan.
People have been triggered by that, haven't they? Like, there's no way.
I,
He's not laughing at getting sent off. He's laughing at the stupidness of the situation.
It's a bad picture, admittedly. But he's laughing. And we've all been in that situation where we've been forced in an awkward situation by somebody else. And you can't bollock him because you feel awkward. And he's probably fed up at Trafford. He 100% just felt awkward at that point. And it's an awkward smile, 100%. I'm not triggered by that myself at all. Fair play to... Well, not fair play. We're going to say fair play to him, but I didn't mean that. But he's obviously just felt awkward and just sort of like smiled and going off thinking, oh, fuck's sake.
No, he has. The issue for me is that it just feels like the complete soul of fans has been ripped out. You know, you look at VK's press conference at the end of the game and it's just like how we all need to rally together. Well, fans are still going to work every week, every month, getting paid and spending... You know, hundreds of pounds on traveling 18 hours, you know, spending a day traveling 18 hours to go and see you put in what? Send 11 kids out on a field that literally just don't give a shit. What are we meant to do? What are we meant to do? It's just getting embarrassing. It's getting beyond the joke. And you can't justify any of it anymore. Like you say, the team selections are something. We were talking on Coach Back and we were saying how, you know, company wants this, you know, multi-million pound player that he's trying to look for. We'd be lucky to get, what, 17 million probably in profit on Coley Osho. Everybody else's valuation will have dropped big time. Mm-hmm. I'm talking, you've paid 15 million for a player, you're looking at probably him going for about two because he's done jack shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, where's the investment issues? I mean, there's investment issues there. Again, going off the stubbornness, VK looked like a man who was like, right, well, I've already been sent off once. I don't want to do it again. So he was sort of stood there a little bit when all these decisions were happening. And you're sort of looking over going, well, where is the fight? Where's that passion you've got? Why aren't you literally going in on these players? You look at the likes of Pep, who you have worked under. He sees something go wrong and he's up on his feet and he's like, you need to do this, you need to do that. You know, he's constantly trying to correct it in-game, not just before a game and gone, all right, well, if it don't work, it don't work. You know what? We all saw when he came in, the video of him giving all this, like, talk at Anderlecht and he proper popping off. And then he's come to Burnley and it sounds like, is he even doing anything like that? Is he even saying anything like that? Or is he going in trying to do the, oh, there, lads. It's just, you know, don't worry. It will come good. Like, this project stuff is starting to do my tits in now. What's the project? What is the project? Is the project loaning players out because you already know that we're going to be in the Championship next season, so let's get them match fit and ready? Benson situation. We screamed his name from about the 50-odd minute to try and get, like, come on, VK, sort it out, like, put him on. It's the game was screaming out for, like, Benson, a bit of someone running on the overlap when trying to go forward, and it just... We didn't get it till the 90 plus summit. It's bullshit. And yet next season it'll be like, oh, can you come on and help me? Can you do? And I'd be like, get gone, do one. Like, no chance. Like, you want me now, but you don't want me then. If I were Benson, I'd be handing the transfer request.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree.
It's getting silly, mate. It's getting silly.
And I agree, but I'm hoping the fact that the fans are desperate to have him will make him want to stay. But I agree. If I was him, I think, why would I want to work for company anymore?
No. The thing is, we've literally gone up. We had everything. Fans and players were so together. You could see that Ian Matson's getting fans on his Instagram lives. And there's just, it felt like you knew them. You know, there was this such understanding that you felt like if you was to ring one of the Burnley players up, they'd go on a night out with you. That's how close you sort of felt. Now we've got nothing. He's gone up and gone, right, let's start again.
Yeah.
And that's... It's ripped the heart out. It's ripped the heart. There's no cohesion. Even if there is team cohesion, you've brought in a load of foreigners that probably don't understand each other. Don't understand each other's game. And like I think somebody said it earlier, Sander Berg was in an attacking Sheffield United team. Where was he with Burnley? Defensive.
Exactly. It's and we got Sheffield United fan Nick from Sheffield United Way, sound lad, on the show at the start of the season. I say sound lad. He had a bit of a nibble when we beat them 5-0. Still a sound lad. Morning, Nick, if you're watching. I don't think he will. But he did say, play him as a 10. You play him as a 10 or at a very minimum a box-to-box. And we have him kind of box-to-box now, but we spent a lot of it in like a six, to the point where against Arsenal, he was even dropping into this into centre back. When Arsenal had the ball, he was dropping into centre back. It's just not the right way to use Sander Berge. It's just not. And he's doing, and this is what I mean, it's all these square pegs in round holes that he's done all season, whether it's bloody Conor Roberts at left back, Del Cuar at left back, when you've got a perfectly good left back on the bench in Charlie Taylor, and he's still doing it now. I know Trafford's not a square peg in a round hole, but it kind of is.
Trafford's just square, mate. Trafford's just square, honestly. The guy, I don't understand. You could see it yesterday when the ball was to his feet just seconds before the incident. Yeah. Estev's asking for the ball. He's made himself, you know, available. And Dara O'Shea's literally pointing at him, going like, you know, Maxim's on, play it. And then you think, oh, right, he's gone for that. What is it? I know it's cliche, but the hospital ball, isn't it? You know, and he's played it in. But he should be able to see that, right, Brownhill's come for it. So clearly the attackers are going to come towards him and think, right, we'll need to cut that out. I don't understand this standing on the ball for 10 minutes before making a pass. Because the defence and flaming midfield don't move. It's the attackers that come forward. You're not getting them out of position. If anything, you're making them get into position. Man marking, zonal exactly, marking. Yeah. Don't even you're get helping me started on that bollocks.
You're helping zonal them press. When you put your foot shocking. On the wall so long, you're helping them press. It's bollocks.
It is.
He's done it all year. His distribution's been so poor all year.
Muric at the beginning was quite bad for it. But I think Muric knew and learned from his mistakes. And eventually, we saw the keeper that Muric can be. Even last season, he'd get the ball, he'd be like, ah, shit, I can see my striker on the shoulder of the last defender. Everybody else is out of position. I'll go along. Not just that, but he also had the, you know, precision of a pass as well, did Muric, to actually pick his man out.
That's the thing that Muric was good at. Yeah. He made that mistake against Blackpool earlier in the season, but he'd learned from that and he got better. And he had brilliant passing by the end of the season, did Muric.
You've got a player like Cullen as well. Fans player of the year. Players player of the year. Barely had a
I mean,
sniff.
The thing with the thing I would now try Cullen, like I would do. I'm not against that at all because what we've done for the last 6 months hasn't worked. But with Cullen, we did try it at the start of the season and he was getting overran, but they're getting overran now still.
He didn't get taken out because of footballing ability. He got taken out because he got too many yellow cards and he got banned for a game. And then in that subsequent game that he ended up playing, Berge and Browner looked a little bit better than Cullen and he just couldn't find his way back into the team.
Yeah, Jack Cook was saving grace in the Championship season, getting booked every week.
Exactly.
And like, they say about Benson can't come on because of the physicality issue. We're not even physical at all. We're not even involved.
It's not a change tactically from Company. That's the only thing where I can sit there and I can actually, like, I fully do call Company out for, because he didn't drop Cullen on merit. He didn't, as a manager, say it with chest and drop Cullen.
He's not made a decision like that. I don't think
he was forced into a change, and it ended up working. Your changes now are Trafford for Muric.
100%.
You're looking at that defence, and you're saying, "What is my best defence? Who's coming out?" Because for me, I don't care what any of you lot say, and I don't care what anybody in the chat says. Dara O'Shea is one of the worst defenders I've ever seen in my entire life. He's shocking. He can't trap a ball. He can't pass a ball. He barely defends. He don't know where his strikers are. It's almost like he's playing with, you know, 10 other blokes in yellow shirts and don't have a clue there's another team playing. He just runs around over and over again. His defensive positioning is shocking, so he needs dropping. And then you've got Amdouni, doesn't put any effort in, stays in every game. If he doesn't play the 10 role, put him up right-hand side. Where's Benson? Where's Zaruri? Where's Twine, who you had last season, who you sent out on loan to develop? He's playing every game in Championship. Zaruri's lighting it up for Hull. Benson can't even get a game. Benson's probably sat there texting Zaruri now saying, how did you manage to get that loan? Because I want that now. Like, just to get a bit of football. You don't want to just...
You've gone mute, Sam, unfortunately.
But they're
the gone mute. And now you're frozen. Oh,
am I back? Are you?
You're back now. You're back. Go on.
But they're the big decisions he needs to make. And he's not making them. So if you're not making those big decisions, what is the point? I just don't understand it.
I agree. And that's what I said at the start. He needs to now make some big decisions. We need to find out what that... Games like this, and I know people will sit there and say, but it's happened a million times before, and it has done. Like, this is what the... I don't even know how many games we are into the season. I don't really care. But it's like the 24th, 25th, and we've seen it time and time and time again. And now, but this should be like the watershed moment where it's like, right, now's the time for me to make some ballsy decisions. He needs to do it next week against Bournemouth. He needs.
Mate,
to
that should have been weeks ago. Not game.
That's what I mean. It should have been. You're right, but now I think is the point where it just if he doesn't now, and now he sticks by them again, I don't see how. And then we lose against Bournemouth again. I don't see how he then goes on to keep his job. Like I know I've said I'm indifferent, and I know I said several weeks ago I don't think we sack him until next season. Unless it becomes untenable. It's getting to the point now where it's untenable because he's not making the decisions that he needs to make and he's doing the same thing every single week. We can't go on doing the same thing every single week and then him doing it again next week and then getting dicked every single week.
But his job's untouchable. His job's apparently untouchable. I don't get it. This meant to be going out with the best-looking girl in the world. I'm not being funny, but if that's what she is, then at the moment, fans are looking at her going, are you serious, mate? Like, them fake tits are starting to sag and she's got bags under her ass. Like, honestly...
It's nonsense, mate. He's the safest job in football because he's not being held accountable. He's not under any pressure. The chairman's in love with him. I've seen it banded about on Twitter yesterday. There's no jeopardy on company. He's not working 100%. Under the pressure of the threat of the sack. So 100%. He's comfortable knowing that he's part of this bloody project thing, and that no matter what, he's probably going to be all right. And it's the same for Trafford. He knows that no matter how many mistakes he makes, he's still going to be number one next week because company hasn't got a clue about what to do and how to change this. None of them are working under the threat of being sacked anymore. It's the most comfortable job in football, and it shouldn't be. And literally the only reasons I'm seeing for that is because he's Vincent Kompany. It's not enough.
Yeah.
There's other big-name managers who've achieved a lot more than Kompany have in the game. I'm thinking like Gerard Lampard, Roy Keane, Gary Neville, all big names, all crap managers. Just because he's a good name and he's got the name and he was a fantastic, one of the best centre-halves in the Premier League, doesn't mean... He's a fantastic Premier League manager and he shouldn't be in that job just because of who his name is.
Pearce said this in one of the fan board meetings, and I think it was something to do with that we've got to remember that we're playing with a team full of kids. There is going to be a bit of naivety to them. It is going to, you know, we are going to take some hard knocks and some bad results, and that company is still learning. But yeah, it's all well and good learning, but if you're going to pump over 100 million in, where Burnley have never ever seen that sort of money unless the literally abused Wonga, right? It's just getting untenable.
27 games into a season is not the point for him to think, oh, I should probably start doing something now. You do it after 10 games, not 27.
Yeah. I agree, but I think now is the time, whereas if he didn't do it, people are just going to be like, wow. As always, Claret said earlier in the chat, like, for him, it's the last chance. I feel like I'm indifferent, but if he does the same thing again and then we get beat again, comfortably again, I just don't see how he can continue to do it. Like,
are you saying this Bournemouth game is the Brian Lowe Scunthorpe situation outside the club?
I think the fans will turn fully.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I say fully. The majority will now be VK out. Whereas at the minute, I still think the majority of VK.
The worst thing about it is the silence. There's nothing. All you're hearing from company is, "Oh, we've got fight, we've got passion." Well, we don't. So you're watching something different to me. We're hearing nothing from the chairman, even if he just tweets out, "Thanks for your support yesterday, not the result we wanted." Nothing. Got nothing from him. Just something. Last year, you couldn't move for them. They're everywhere. And this year, there's not a peep out of any of them.
I feel bad that I slated Sunderland fans after they've tried to make a documentary and it all go absolutely tits up on promotion and promotion.
I mean, that's
stuff.
The part. I was thinking this last night. I'm just like, not watching
look at
that
us. We're laughing stock.
I'm not watching that next year. There's no chance I'm going to sit down and watch that next year. And I don't mean any shade towards the lads at Mecca. I'm sure it'd be a brilliant piece of footage and a brilliant documentary. I'm not watching that.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
But what does it take from to just message saying we're not having the greatest season, but let's stick together, let's do something? Nothing. We've got nothing from them. And I know he's at the games, but I don't mean all. He's there doing his schmoozing with his investors and putting that on Instagram. It's nothing from any of them. And I think that speaks volumes that they're just happy with it. And it sets a tone. The fact that if they sack him now, it sets a message that we're not standing for, we're not good enough. Whereas if we keep him, it's sort of saying, sorry, you can get away with it, we'll try again. And it's just about sending a message now. Sack him sends the right message that we're not accepting underperformance.
Yeah.
That's all it is for me.
Or even just scaring with the thought.
Scaring with the thought.
Yeah. Call the board meeting.
It's going to be like, oh, shit. But
I'd be happy for that. Call the board meeting.
Yeah. Clubs in our situation right now would be like calling for a fans forum. They'd be like, right, can we sit down, you know, so many people in a room with the chairman and grill him. Grill him on where's this going on? Why is this going wrong? But yet, they won't do that.
No. Who do you bring in instead, though? Because this is my only argument back to anybody that says VK.
I completely agree.
Like, yeah. He is getting towards that way. But my thing is, if we go down, I don't think there's a better manager that takes the job knowing that we're going down. So people that are saying Steve Cooper and Graham Potter and stuff, you're just living in a dream world. That's not happening. So you're going for a championship manager. If you tell me that we swap VK for Gary Rowett, right?
Morning, yeah. Jordan, if you're listening.
If you think that that's better, if people think that that's better, honestly, I'm going to stop watching football.
Mate, we're not. Mate, you've got to think.
Gary Rowett, if he's a Vincent Company, what is the point?
If we sack him, we're not sacking him to save this season. That's gone. We're sacking him to build for the restart of this frigging project thing, right?
Well, who would you have
project
taken
2.0.
The reins for that restart?
Yeah.
But
it's not my job to find that man. The job is Alan Pearson.
No, it's not. But what I mean is, like, as fans, like, we will still know. Like,
well, that's where we can get somebody in. I would give it to Jackson at the end of the season. See this season out, right? Wow. Give it Jackson till the summer. See this summer out, and then you've got from now till then to see who becomes available. There's going to be a massive managerial merry-go-round thing this summer. It's huge. So let's see who becomes available.
When we got rid of Coyle,
Klopp's available. Apparently,
he's not managing for a year. I thought the exact same thing. Also, even if he manages, I still think I hate him. But the thing is, like, when we got rid of Coyle, when Coyle left, we brought in Brian Laws. Was he better than Owen Coyle? No, he just wasn't. And then we went down with more of a whimper than we would have done even with Owen Coyle. And who knows, Owen Coyle might have even kept us up that season. You don't even know.
If we'd have had them signings that he made at Bolton, like you say, the likes of Jack Wilshere, Vladimir Vice, Weiss, whatever you want to call him, we would have been a stronger unit. Especially when we were, comfortably mid-table and Bolton were languishing.
Like, we were okay. But this is my thing, like, I'm only saying it to play devil's advocate. That's the other way it can go. So, yes, we could get rid of Company to make that point, but we already know that we're down. And Vizza said it there, it completely true. Like, we have seen it happen, but I don't want it to become normal. I don't want it to become normal that we just sack a manager. Like, he got us up. Granted, we've not played well. Completely appreciate that. But that's also, in a way, become something that the board and the manager and everything to do with the club have made so now. If you'd have sacked him, let's say, 10 games ago, that's when you turn around and say, okay, to a degree, fair enough, because we're on 13 points, we've played rubbish every single game.
That's a very good shot.
10 games ago. Now it's got to this point, it almost feels really pointless to do it, knowing that we're all going to go, that we are going down. It's a fact, we're going down. And is Vincent Kompany the best person to bring down with us to do a rebuild? A, knowing he's done it before with 16 new players. B, knowing that we absolutely tore the championship apart last season. Like Joe says, if he has 10 games in the championship and it doesn't work, that's the point where everyone and the board, everybody will be aligned and say, it definitely doesn't work. In my opinion now, if you sack him now and you turn around to me and say, Gary Rowett's the next type of manager that we're going to go get, honestly, I'm going to go watch Bowls. What is the point? If Gary Rowett is
well,
my manager,
point. Can I add a point D? Can I add a point D?
Go on.
Point D, yes, he got us up, but point D is that we know that championship's probably his level. So what is the point in rebuilding with someone who's, that's his ceiling? There's no point.
I think I think there is still little bits to it, though. Like, I think the recruitment of this season is shocking, and that's been seen in the players that he... So, yes, he's making the wrong decisions with, like, the Bensons and the Zeruris. I get that. That's still his decision at the end of the day. That side of it, I don't understand. But the players that we've brought in, they are all young. They are all kids.
Yeah.
And the board have okayed these transfers. So he's only got what he's got at his disposal. We have both ends of the spectrum in our club. We've got dramatic experience, like almost to the point where you're actually bordering on becoming a fossil. And then you've got all the young kids that have basically like just come out of nappies. The in-between in our club isn't there. You don't see 25 to 28-year-olds really at the club. So there's no like in-between like experience. So he's either got kids or granddads to play with. And I don't think recruitment's helped him in the situation that he's in. He's still making the wrong decisions. I still back that. But I don't think that we're the squad is overall a good squad. I don't think we've assembled a good squad. I don't think we needed to buy all the players that we bought. And I think that's also partially why he's not able to get things going, is because we've bought a million and one players. They're all kids, and none of them have any Premier League experience, and you're throwing them into literally...
We've changed too much as well. The actual change, like, not just on the pitch, you know, everything around the pitch, like, new guys came in, started to see change. We was like, yes, it was needed, but it's a bit like when you make something and you taste it and you're like, right, need to add something into that to make it more taste, like, add a bit more flavour, but then you put too much in and you've completely ruined it. You know, that's sort of what we do right now, and... The situation we're in last season when we got relegated prior to Kompany's appointment, not that season, obviously the season before, I was, you know, media outlets are going, oh, Burnley could drop and drop again. This could be trouble. The way we are going with the players we've got with no fight and no commitment, right now I could see that happening off the back of this season than I could the season we actually went down.
This summer's recruitment is arguably going to be a tougher job than when Vinny took it over, because we've got players who, I think, as someone said it, I can't remember who, but I think the players have decreased in value. So I think we're going to struggle to offload the likes of Trafford. We're going to struggle to offload the likes of Trezor.
I don't think we will offload. I think we'll offload the likes of Trezor and Amdouna, the likes of Trafford and stuff. I think we'll keep them.
So I think we aren't going to get as much profit for these players as Pace thinks we are. Then you've got the situation where players are going to look at it and think, so I could play for Kompany this year and I could get to the Premier League, but I know he's going to bin us off, because players will talk to each other. So Benson and Zeruri now is at Hull. He'll be telling them all about how he's been binned off. He didn't get a chance. That's why he's here, blah, blah, blah. So players are going to look at that and think, I could bust the gut this year and sign for Burnley, and they can sell me this Premier League dream, but I know damn well I ain't going to play. So they're going to sign for somebody else. And for me, that is why this summer's recruitment is going to be a lot harder for the name. Last year, everyone signed, oh, it took a phone call from Vinny and I was there. That's not going to have the same weight this year, I don't think. It's going to take more than a phone call from Kompany to persuade some players to come. I really do think that. And that's what my worry is that I don't... Yes, we need to... We'll have to rebuild again, but I don't think we're going to find it that easy.
Yeah, I don't think the rebuild will be that big. I think the likes of Amdouni and Trezor will leave. Foster will probably leave. But a lot of the youngsters are on long... Unless they're forced to move out, which I can't really see many of them doing. I don't think it'll be that bad. I think a few will leave, a few more than the club want, but I don't think it'll be as big as like you're suggesting, Neil, and obviously Ryan's suggesting there. But it depends on whether people want to play for him again. That is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
But then just to play devil's advocate again, on the flip side of that, you might say players don't want to come for us because they think, well, why the fuck should I? Because they're just going to bin us off again. Some players will back themselves, obviously, to be in Kompany's mind despite the promotion. And then you can also look at the case studies of Teller about to win the league in Germany. Mm-hmm. Martsen, you know, playing for a massive club now in Germany. These are good case studies of if you come to Burnley, get us promoted, look what can happen to you as a player. So I think he might still have a bit of weight to his phone calls and all, look what we've done. But when we get to the next level, all that then does start again. Like, do players will want to stay here and stuff like that? And just going back to the get rid of him, who do we bring in sort of thing. Yeah, the Rowett shouts are a joke. I know someone likened him to the Luton manager, Rob Edwards, in the chat earlier, but
At least Rob Edwards was smashing it for Forest Green first, yeah. Then got his move to what exactly. Didn't work, and he's, then
Rob's done nothing apart from fail.
Yeah, Gavis done Gary nothing Rowett, apart from like six championship clubs and never got them higher than mid-table. So it's not even a discussion. Like,
yeah.
Gary Rowett's an awful manager, and if you want to replace Vincent Kompany with him, be my guest. I aren't joining you for it.
I agree.
Let's get Beale in.
but the thing is, I watched him at Rangers. Right?
I hope you meant Ian.
And I also hate him.
On his burner account. I'm going to look for his burner account, see if he's doing pro Beale. The
thing is, 100%.
Beale ball for the next 6 months is awful.
100%. Every footballer has a burner account. Every footballer has a burner account. I'm aware of, not aware of who's what accounts are, but I'm aware of several footballers having burner accounts, whether it be Burnley players or other players. They all do it. But the tweets on that burner account were ridiculous. They don't do what he was doing. That would just embarrass it. I mean, I've got a burner account. I'm just a fat middle-aged man. But anyway, going back to the Kompany thing. We can't afford to sack him. We signed a 5-year deal or 4-year deal, whatever it was. The payout, obviously, I know it's not going to be the full limit, the full
didn't
4 years with Dash, if we sack him.
Sure. Didn't Dash have a
exactly, but that's another example as to why we can't afford to do it again. That'll just be another example as to why we can't afford to do it again. And Pace does love him. And I do agree with Sam. Like, I do think he is probably, at the minute, better than what's out there, what we can get. I know people have said, Kieran McKenna in the chat, why would he come to us now when they're potentially about to get promoted? Maybe in the summer, if we went down and Kompany walked or we decided to get rid of him then, maybe.
Do you not think, mate, it's an easier sell now? If we said, do you want to join us in the summer? We can do this, there's this budget left, get us back up. Then it would be 10 games of the championship season where we're languishing mid-table. We've sacked Kompany, and then we're trying to get someone in from a club already. It's an easier sell now for me.
This was going to be my next point. The shouts of get Jackson into the end of the season and the start again is just a waste of 2 years. And I know some people might say, well, it's been a waste of 2 years anyway. And I'd struggle to put an argument up against that. But we're just doing the same thing we did again 2 years ago, and then we'll be in the same position again when we bring in the manager in the summer. I just don't see the point at this stage, unless it becomes, like I said, Bournemouth. If he picks Amdouni and Trafford again, and Trafford sells somebody short and makes a mistake, and Amdouni trots around, not looking like he gives a fuck, despite being subbed. That's another thing. There's a couple of more points I want to bring up. All we've done is slag Kompany off for 46 minutes. Yeah. So I'm going to continue.
Someone's got to do it, mate, because Pace isn't doing it. Someone's got to do it.
Players as well. These players go onto the pitch every single week and don't perform. So, yes, it starts with the manager, but these players are rubbish. There's so many of them that do nothing. Dara O'Shea, rubbish. Amdouni, rubbish. You've got fullbacks that you don't even know where they're playing half the time. Rubbish. Trafford, rubbish. We've bought so many rubbish players, and you've got a team of good players from last season that don't even play. Murich is on bench every week, doesn't play. Benson, Zaruri's gone on loan. Twine's trotting around somewhere playing for Bristol City or whatever he's playing. You've got all these players, and then half of them are sat in canteen waiting to get a call up from Kompany. And Amdouni sat there in training, walking on the treadmill, and he comes in. He's starting 10 tonight, son. For what? What for? You've been shocking. You've been shocking. Half of them need shipping out. It's ridiculous. You can't put all of it on Kompany because they go out every single week and still do the same thing. So, yes, he picks them. That's the point that you make. And I get that. They still go out and perform the exact same.
Yeah.
If that were me and I played rubbish one game, I'd do everything I could to be anywhere near 5%.
Yeah, but this comes back to the fact that none of them are playing with any jeopardy whatsoever. So, like, yes, he's playing rubbish. But that would require self-awareness of playing rubbish. Self-awareness of him being rubbish.
Who's out injured and stuff like that, and Ekdal's out injured, so your centre half situation's a bit difficult. But some of the other players, I mean, like you say, though, you're swapping Ramsey, who has been rubbish, for Amdouni, who's been rubbish. So you're just swapping a rubbish player with a rubbish player, and it sounds really bad for Aaron Ramsey because he hasn't actually been given an opportunity. So I don't actually mean his preferred position, in his injury as well. That is so horrible for him. But it's just. Who do you replace certain players with in certain positions? Because the only position where I actually think we get any fight really is Fofana and Foster. They're the only two strikers that put effort in. And then you've got Odubear, who did put effort in, but he's starting to go the other way now.
Yeah, because he's starting to. I was going to say, Odebert, for me, he's starting to show signs of joining the rest of them.
But he's not trying to take a stand or something. No, he's not getting anything.
Brun Larson, for me. Brun Larson, for me, has shown more coming off the bench and actually getting involved in games, and yet where is he? Nowhere to be seen.
This is what I've been saying, all that. The tone is wrong. The tone is wrong at the club. The tone is that we'll accept mediocrity. That's the tone. Company's not being held accountable. So why are the players are just turning up thinking, "Be right, we'll get away with it. We'll play at the weekend. It's fine."
Yeah.
Nobody at the club is not being jumping
on us either, though, Neil. Media's not jumping on us going, "How bad is Burnley? How bad are this? How bad is that?"
No. Under again, Dash, we got, I think this started recently.
We got slated, but you know, bad Burnley lose again, blah blah. But because Company's there, it's all a case of, all right, well, they might put it right next week, so we won't slander them. We'll just let them go about their business. It's bullshit. You can't keep, again, like Joe said, and he said it for numerous weeks now, that insanity quote. It's
spot on.
It doesn't resonate more with Burnley than it could right now.
Yeah, it's a shit show. Something I wanna bring up was a comment here from GST. He says, "Disagree with Amdouni being rubbish. He's just lazy. He's a luxury player in teams that need grafters." Yes, we've all said that on this show several times. Yeah. Technically, he's a very good footballer, but for Burnley Football Club this season, he has been rubbish, and that's obviously the point that Sam was making.
In the current state, he's been rubbish.
We're just not going to repeat ourselves every single week, even though we are in a weird way. I'd also want to. I want to bring up. Where's the comment gone now? From Ginger Alley. This is one of the only things I've written down. 90 plus 3 min subs. I was wrong a little bit. It was the 90th minute, as Ginger Alley says. So in that time, where's it gone now? He brings on Benson, Cork and Rodriguez. We're already 3-0 down. What's the point? Like, what is this? Is the stuff that winds me up with him. What is the point at this stage? Bring them on at half time. If he had some balls, he'd bring them on at half time. This is what I mean about him not having cojones. He just doesn't make these ballsy decisions. I don't know. Some people might point out the fact that he dropped Amdouni at half time last week and hooked him. Yeah, fair enough. Good point. But then he plays him again the week after because he ain't got the balls to walk up to him and say, "You dropped for this week. You've not been good enough." And this is another thing that infuriates me. The 90 plus 3 minute subs. I just didn't get it. Bringing Benson on in the 93rd minute and then turning around 4 days prior saying he's had enough chances to show himself at this level. He didn't obviously single out Benson, but he said there's several players who aren't playing who've had enough chances to show themselves at this level. What chances he got? All right, there were 12 minutes of out of time, so he had 9 minutes or 12 minutes if he were brought on in the 90th minute. It's just bollocks. And the fact that he's saying these things in the quotes as well has pissed me off this week. That interview we did where he said that pissed me off. And to then dumb down on it by sticking him on the 93rd minute and probably turn around this week and say the same thing. Oh, he didn't do anything in them 12 minutes. It's bollocks, lads. Honestly, it's bollocks.
Neither did the other 10 over 90, you fucking idiot. So, like, it's honest to God, it's getting ridiculous. I said this, like I said, the last fan board meeting, Matt Williams were there, and I asked the question, "Why isn't Benson playing? He's not physical enough." I said, "Are you joking?" I said, "Put me on that." I said, honestly, he went, "Do you want to argue it with Vincent Kompany?" I said, "Get him on the phone." I said, "I've got no," I said, I'll give my reasons. I said, "You've got a player like Jack Grealish who falls on his arse every single game week, right? Because the physicality's not there or that. He just likes to spend time on his arse, obviously. But how many quick wins would we get from someone like Benson just getting, you know, those little nippy tackles, you know, a chance to get men forward with a free kick or out like that? You know, it's about utilising a different angle of the game. We saw it when we signed Kone, that we were still playing in a similar way under Dash that was like, you know, knocking it long to the forwards. But you saw in that one player that he saw space where the other 10 were like, if there's space there, we'll just leave it there for us to pump a ball into. You know, we won't run into it. We won't offer our services in that sort of aspect. There's so many little things that are so easy to tweak. Mm-hmm. So if he's watching this, God forbid, you know, if he's still watching it after the 40-odd minute slander of him, then it surely takes some pointers because, yes, okay, we are fans, but we are just like you. We can all make judgment and we can all see it how you can see it, but you can't sugarcoat the same shit every single week. the press conferences are getting boring. It's getting Darsh-esque again. Repetitive. Fine margins. Bull crap. Like, it's not good enough. Not good enough. Tactically inept. We don't seem to be making any sort of progress. And right now, there's fans that are happy but can't give a reason why they're happy. And then there's fans that are miserable but can't give a reason as to why it should still be going. It's just, mate, I'm surprised we're not all going to be at AA meetings, because that's what Burnley's doing. It drives you to drink. Me and Sam understand that.
Well, when these shows used to be later on a Sunday, you would see me drinking when we were a bit shit. And unfortunately, I have to be in Leeds at 1:15, so I can't really sit here with a beer. And I think
what he means there is when it started at 11.
Yeah, I was on the booze. And I used to maybe put some in my coffee as well. But there was nothing in the house. Fair enough, Dan. Thank you for the insight there to the obviously fan board meeting. I was never going to ask you about that because I don't want to get you in trouble. But it's interesting to see what Matt said about that. And if somebody can sit there and with a straight face and tell me Benson isn't physical enough, but yet they start Amdouni every single week, whether that be Vincent Kompany or the COO. Then
Trafford, you can sit the least physical goalkeeper in the country.
Yeah. How can you sit there and say Manmo Benson isn't physical enough, which, you know, partially I agree with, and why I would have him playing more but probably coming off the bench. Yeah. Or in this stage, no, I'd probably have him starting because of how shit we've been all season. But in an ideal scenario in the Prem, he would be coming on the bench to make an impact like he did last season. So I understand that thinking. But to sit there when you play Amdouni every single week, who doesn't say boo to a goose, and Trafford, who's literally, as Sam said earlier, just out of nappies, then you've got to be questioning their thought process if that's what they're thinking.
It's something's got to change. Something's got to change.
Manager.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's easy to say manager, but then
players again just an L for me. But
yeah, the players right now, like I say, it's the team sheet. No, I used to look forward to seeing the team sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be too shiny shats about it now, because you know it's going to be the same names.
You can predict it. Like, you've got all these pages predicting it and going, oh, look at me, I predicted the team. Because you can. Because you know a company's going to fucking sit there and play the same players every single week.
It wasn't even that bad yesterday. It would just be nice if we could have had 11 men on pitch. Like,
this is the issue, though. Against Arsenal, against Palace, we make them look good.
Mm.
They've not even had to get out of first gear. As long as they can make a successful pass and get the ball forward, our arse falls out.
As well as that, though, to be fair as well, just to bring it up, like, the red card was a huge turning point in the game, but we didn't do anything before that.
100%.
We got a red card in the 35th minute, and we were shocking still then. They were having attack after attack. They could have scored twice before that. Like, we still looked rubbish. Right. So...
I don't understand how we can play with such a high line, but yet our wingers be so defensive. Like, why don't we just have a 10-man midfield?
But
Because that seems to be where we are.
I just go for it. Like, sit back and ship 5 goals, but at least give something going forward. Don't ship 3 goals away from home at Palace, who couldn't score to save the life, and sit in banks of 4 and still concede 3 goals.
I've brought something in just to visualise Sam's point. So I did mention it earlier, I did reference it, but it's a point. So this is an attacking momentum graph. Apologies if you're watching listening on the podcast, you won't be able to see it. But this is an attacking momentum graph. Obviously, every time the bar's on the Palace side, that's when Palace are attacking or have a bit of momentum. Every time the bar is on the Burnley side, that's when Burnley have the momentum. The red card, obviously, you can see there at the bottom, that's when we were sent off. Burnley did nothing before that. Nothing. And Vincent Kompany said it's a massive point in the game. And it is, obviously, but it's not a turning point. We did nothing before it. And look at how little. We actually did better with 10 men in terms of attacking momentum. And that just shows how shite we were yesterday.
Fans were singing, we've won the ball. And then as soon as we lost it, we just changed it to lost. And then we were just taking the piss out of ourselves. That's how we spent the day.
You know you're shit when the fans are being sarcastic. Exactly. You know you're shit when the fans are being sarcastic. So, not a great... Is there anything you boys want to bring up before we wrap it up? Because like I said, I need to be in Leeds at 1:15, so I need to be setting off from here around 12, ideally, just in case.
Say hello to Connor Roberts for me, will you?
No, I'll fucking...
He had a belter the other day as well. He played so well the other day. Championship is his level, though. Like I said,
he's still a bit of a snake, though, isn't he? He's still a bit of a snake.
But he's one of the best Championship right backs out there. But he goes into the Premier League, he didn't even know what a football is. So like
they can sit there and rave about him all they want, but next year when they go, because it's looking like they will, they'll find out.
Yeah.
Fuck around.
I just think the only thing to finish it on is like as much as I completely agree with everybody's point about Kompany, I do. I completely agree. I'm not arguing that you're wrong. I'm just playing the devil's advocate and saying like my side is I'm swaying towards one way, but I'm not exactly on the fence of either one. But it isn't just Kompany. We've got some awful performances from some players that weren't there last season, that won't be there next season. We've got an owner who went from being on cloud nine, messaging everybody all the time and saying everything and having all these investors and everything going from amazing to, you know, he's silent now, doesn't say anything, doesn't speak about anything, doesn't, you know, only talks about the investors that he brings in because that seems like it's the only thing that he can see as positive.
This is the time when he needs
somebody else who'll pump money into this absolute horror show. And the thing is, like, of course, I completely agree with the Kompany stuff, but you have to look at every aspect of the club so far. Yeah. And yes, Kompany's picking the team, and yes, Kompany's not getting it right all the time, but some of them players need an absolute pasting, and Pace needs a pasting. I mean, Jesus. Recruitment
from top to bottom, horrendous. Top to bottom. Yeah. Nothing's gone right so far this season. Before we start wrapping it up, though, I just want to remind everyone that Burnley's sleeve sponsor for the 23-24 season are about to unveil something special. The limited edition Burnley FC Uphold card set to launch soon. Easily add funds to your card, unlock its perks, whether you're spending at home or away. The card lets you spend money in any currency, anywhere globally. It's accepted everywhere MasterCard is without foreign transaction fees. That's quite important, without. And offers a competitive exchange rate for added ease and security. You can pay with Google Play. And go on to the Turfcast Twitter account and the Turfcast Facebook and the Turfcast Instagram. You will see we are currently running the competition alongside the football club and alongside Uphold for you to win hospitality tickets for Burnley versus Bournemouth. Although I'm not sure why you'd want that, other than the hospitality. You could take a curtain, go to hospitality and put a curtain up and not watch the match. You could do that. Jamie, no man of the match this week. If I was held at gunpoint, I'd say Sander, but nobody. Yeah. I don't see anybody really deserving of it. Anyway, thank you, lads. We've still got quite a lot of people watching. It's been a very high viewed show. This pretty much been around the 120, the 123 mark, 130 mark all the way through the show. So thank you, everybody, for watching. It's an absolute pleasure to be able to do this for you every single week. And it's always good to have a full house as well. I even had to turn people down this week. Vizzy was messaging me saying, oh, I'll come on and that. Oh, sorry, mate. I've actually got four this week. I've actually got a full house. So people are desperate to talk about Burnley, which just shows how bad we're doing. Yeah, loads of comments. Absolutely fantastic. It's really good. I hope you're all enjoying it. I hope you still enjoy the podcast. Obviously, we've been doing it for a while now. Sometimes need freshening up and stuff, but it seems like the numbers are still decent. So thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on the podcast, I'll just quickly bring this comment in from Solent. Solent says he's just cancelled his hotel for the Spurs game and trying to something his tickets for the Forest game. Probably get rid of the tickets, I imagine. Jamie says, great show, lads. Sue says, love you, Neil.
We all love Neil, too.
We all love Neil. Yeah, Neil's everyone's favourite Macam. Sam's everyone's favourite Yorkshireman. Dan's everyone's favourite Ginge. And I don't really know what I am. I'm just...
Favourite horse.
There we go. We'll have that.
I
wanted to be humble, but I'll take that. Paul Yates says, great show, lads. Same time next week, saying the shit about another lackluster performance. Well, we can't do the same time next week because the game is on Sunday. So it'll be interesting. I'll speak to the lads. I'll try and do one Sunday evening, but if the lads are busy, then they're busy. So we'll see what the crack is with that. But thanks, everyone, watching. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Burnley are shit. Trafford shit. I'm doing his shit. Company's dreadful. But yeah, we'll be there on the turf on Sunday, and we will see you next time. Au revoir.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.